Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Beginning this Easter series over the next 3 weeks, just as we head towards Easter Sunday, and I purposely today wanted to just strip it back a little bit, and I wanted to talk on the whole subject of communion. Is that all right? I feel that sometimes, because we do communion once a month at the end of the service, that sometimes we rush it, and there's this great danger that we become so familiar that we lose sight of the implication of its purpose, of what God has done for us, because we've been saved for so long that we just know it. We just know it. But sometimes there are danger in just knowing that we forget of the blessing, as Daniel has already said, forget not all the benefits that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. So our purpose over this whole series is just that we'd slow down, that we'd reflect, that we just reconsider the journey of Jesus to the cross. And my prayer is that everyone, that we would be reminded of the love that Jesus Christ has for you. Because sometimes we hear it so often that we almost, it's almost like, yeah, we know. But do we really know? We hear it. But are we really hearing? So I want to just take some time. And I've said to the guys, and it's always dangerous when I say this, I'll use this mic so I'm not so loud. I says, and I'll try and strip it back, and I'll try and be quiet, and I'll only be 20 minutes. So you might get one out of three. And the purpose for that is that I would love that just after we look at this whole subject of communion, that the band is going to come back up, and I want us just to take the time to worship God in thankfulness and gratitude for what he's done. I don't want it just to be a cursory song that we sing while the kids come up just to give them time. I want it to be more than that, but I want that as we sing and worship, I actually want that as we engage, I want it to be part of our journeying of remembering what God has done for us as we consider Easter. It's amazing that today we cover both ordinances that is given in the Bible, which is to meet together in fellowship communion and also to be baptized in water. And we're going to do both of those today, this morning, and then tonight. And I can't encourage enough. Come out. Be an encouragement. Isn't it great to think that there are people tonight, young and old, that are going to step on this platform. They're going to testify, tell you a little bit about their story of how much they love Jesus. And then they're going to go through the waters of baptism, acknowledging publicly their love and obedience to Jesus Christ. I think that's wonderful. And I can't encourage enough. Come out and support. Let's not lose sight of how wonderful it is to see people just following on what Jesus has instructed us to do. Well, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things is to eat food. Come on, anyone else? Can I get a witness? Food is glue. I love to eat food. I haven't got my head around it. You know how you meet some people, and you're in their company, and they'll sort of go, oh, I don't think I've had food today. I don't think I remember to eat. I've never had that problem. I have never gone a day where I've gone, oh, did I forget to eat food today? But one of the things I love to do is I love to eat a meal with my friends. I think it's wonderful when you gather around with your friends and you have communion. And as it is today, it was back in the days of the Bible, it was a real sign of intimacy when you would come together for fellowship and to break bread. It was something that was really a beautiful thing to do. So I've entitled this sermon, Come to the Table. And I'm going to read a scripture that some of you have heard so often that you don't even hear the words anymore. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, and we read these words. The Apostle Paul declared, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.' So then, Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. What a great reminder for all of us this morning. I didn't realize how routines mean so much to me. And especially on a Sunday morning when I'm getting ready to come to church, I didn't realize that how I have everything sort of laid out. I sort of have the keys laid out the night before, just so that I'm not rushing trying to find the keys for the car and for the church, etc., etc. And everything is just sort of works according to schedule, because I love to prepare myself as I'm coming to the house of the Lord. I don't want to be rushed. I don't want to be out of sync. I don't want to, especially if I'm preaching, I don't want things happening. I want to come in and I want to know I'm good, I'm ready to go. But would you believe that this morning just totally threw me? I'll tell you why it threw me. We have a burst water pipe up in our area. Anyone else? Anyone else? So I get up and I sort of, first thing you do in this on a Sunday morning, of course, is go for your coffee. So go to fill up the coffee machine, and there's no water. And I'm thinking, and why do we do this? We think it must only be that tap. So we go and check another tap, don't we? So I go through to check the other tap, and there's no water there. And I'm suddenly going, a problem. So I'm quickly on checking the water board, which, yes, I found out that there is a burst pipe up in my area. I don't know how long it's going to be. So sort of tried to go through my other rituals just as I'm sort of getting ready, trying to leave it for the last moment to jump in the shower, and quickly recognized that I'm not going to have enough time. So I'm really going to have to go old school. Here's what old school means. Old school means that you go to the supermarket, you buy some bottled water, you take it home, you put it in the kettle, you boil it. And I haven't had a shave like that in years. I mean, it felt like I was camping again, you know. And Phyllis is laughing as I'm doing all that. Notice she's laughing. She's not here. I am. Anyway, Phyllis is laughing as I'm doing all that. And I'm sort of then boiling the water again so that I can wash and da-da-da, wash. And then plenty aftershave on this morning and all that sort of thing going on. And I'm laughing to myself, because I know this morning I'm going to talk about the danger of familiarity, of taking things for granted, and I take for granted the fact that if I switch on that tap, I'm expecting water. I expect something to happen. It's just, I take for granted. It did not even cross my mind the possibility this Sunday morning there's going to be a challenge with water. But how many times do we come to the table of the Lord with familiarity? How many times do we come, not even considering, not even thinking about the implications, not even allowing the whole message of the gospel to wash over us again, because we are just so familiar with what goes on that there's just an expectation that's the way it's going to be? And Jesus' writing said this do in remembrance of me. Christ was very clear that we had to remember. Why did he say this do in remembrance of me? Because he knew we're the type of people that would forget. That he knew that because of our humanness, there was a great danger that over-familiarity would cause us to lose sight of the wonder of forgiveness of sins, the wonder of being able to come into the presence of God. We would lose sight of the price that was paid. So Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And the reason I want you to do it is when you do it, you are proclaiming, the Bible says. In other words, we're actually preaching a message. Some of you think that you can't preach. Well, I tell you, this Sunday morning, you're preaching a message, because we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So even when we partake in communion, this is actually a gospel message that is taking place. I'll never forget many years ago, after the communion service, John Casey, I see his mom and dad here. After the communion service, the emblems were down at the front. They were actually just sitting on the stage. Casey was just a little boy at the time. And Casey, and do you remember Matthew Lovell? Some of you remember Matthew Lovell. Casey and Matthew, who was his good friend, after the service, they had come down and they're just sort of sitting next to the emblems. As they're sitting next to the emblems, they sort of get closer to the emblems. I'm up at the back. I'm observing what is going on. Suddenly, they begin to whisper to each other. And then one puts his hand in and takes bread out. They didn't say a prayer, but one did hand it to the other. And then they looked and they saw that there were still cups full of juice. So they each took a wee drink of juice. Now they look around at this point. No parents are intervening. No one's sort of apprehending them. So they think they're onto a picnic. So I'm watching from the back as these two little boys are enjoying over and over again the fellowship of having communion together. And I started to laugh to myself because here they are in the house of God pilfering the communion, which in an act of itself was proof of our sinful nature. There was no prayer. I didn't see much repentance, but there was joy. I'll give them that much. But I'm looking on, and there was a part of me saying, look at those wee rascals. But then there's another part of me that went, wow, but look how happy they are. Look how happy they are as they're taking the communion. And yet how often when we take communion, we're sad, we feel condemned, we feel downtrodden, and we are reminded of our unworthiness when the purpose of communion is to remind us of how worthy He is, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. And I want to remind you this morning that in spite of our sinful nature, God loved you and God loved me so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Let me take you back to this journey, because I think we sometimes get so intense when it comes about communion. And it's not this morning about the intensity, it's about the sensitivity to what God is doing. And we sometimes make this an intense moment, and I think, yes, we should be considering all that God's done, but I think it's more about a sensitive moment as we look at our lives, as we examine our lives, as we consider all that God has done for us so that we can partake of the emblems. Are you with me so far? There's something beautiful about just taking the time to examine our hearts, to examine our actions and our deeds. And the danger is that we become so familiar or we become condemned, but we can lose sight of the fact of this, that not only did Jesus die for my sin, He needed to die for my sins. Think about this. Heaven didn't send an angel. It didn't send an apostle. And heaven didn't send a great man of God. But heaven sent the Son of God to pay the price for our sins. There was a gap between God and man through sin. We all know that so well from the book of Genesis. But God made provision. God already had a plan. Before there was ever a sinner on earth, there was a Savior in heaven. And God had already said He's the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Before Adam even sinned, God already had a plan. His name is Jesus Christ. And He sent Him for me and for you. But we maybe are so familiar with this because it's easy to get familiar with Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, we read this, that Jesus had left there and went to His hometown, accompanied by His disciples. Should come up on the screen. When the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard Him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given Him? What are these remarkable miracles He is performing? Think of this. Jesus stands up in the synagogue. He quotes from the scroll of Isaiah. And everyone is absolutely amazed. They're like, wow, this is incredible. What wisdom. Where did this come from? Wait a minute, they said. Wait a minute. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Him. They moved from amazement to offense as quick as that. They went, church, from familiar, they went from wow to familiar like that. And the Bible says that Jesus could only do a few miracles there. Why? Because there was no amazement and there was no faith because they had got so familiar. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to do miracles in this place today. And I don't want my familiarity to dent the faith that can rise in this room because, wow, it's just the same old. No, God is in this place. And even during a communion service, especially during a communion service, God can touch lives. The danger is that we just go from, we've seen it all, we've heard it all, we're so familiar that we don't recognize God speaking anymore. We've heard it so many times before. We've heard the scripture so many times before that there's nothing that catches our attention. Let's look again for a few moments at what happened at the Last Supper. Let's look at this through some fresh eyes. Jesus is gathered with his disciples. They're in an upper room. They're celebrating the Passover. If you want to know more about the Passover, read Exodus chapter 12, where we read the story of when the children of Israel, as they're about to leave Egypt, the 10th plague is about to come, where the firstborn is going to die. And God speaks to Moses, and he gives instructions to his people, and he tells Moses, Moses, here's what's going to happen, that you need to tell the people that they need to take a lamb, spotless. They need to kill that lamb, and they need to take the blood, and they need to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintel of the house. And then here's what's going to happen. When the death angel passes by, they will see the blood, and when the angel sees the blood, hallelujah, they will pass over the house. There's a message in there alone. When the angel sees the blood, he will pass over. Then what would happen is they were instructed that they were to eat that lamb that night. So that is why there was a feast that was known as the Passover. Because when the angel saw the blood, they would pass over the house. So they were instructed that they were to gather together and remember this as part of their history. Jesus gathers with his disciples. They're in the upper room. They're celebrating the Passover, which is so wonderful in itself because he was the great Passover lamb. And as he gathers with those simple disciples, he knows that in a few hours he's going to be betrayed. He knows that very soon that he is going to be before Pilate. He knows that very soon that he's going to be crucified. And Jesus, in the intensity of this moment, think about this, church. In the intensity of this moment, he takes the time to break bread with the disciples because he wants to show them a greater way. In the midst of celebrating the Passover meal, they are now joining together with him in what is known as the table of the Lord. He is revealing to them that which they are celebrating looking back, now they're going to be celebrating looking forward. That which they look back and say, that's what happened back then. And Jesus says, that's old covenant. That's what's happened, old covenant. That's what happened, Old Testament. And here's the great news. Jesus is saying, but now you're going to move from old covenant or old agreement. Now you're moving into new agreement. Now it's no longer going to be about lambs and bulls and goats and sacrifice and blood. I am going to be the perfect sacrifice. And I want you to break bread. And when you do this, you don't realize what is about to happen. But something incredible is about to happen. I am about to go to a cross. And I'm going to die on that cross. I'm going to shed my blood on that cross. But on the third day, I will rise again. And because I live, you will live also. And no longer is it going to be about condemnation and judgment. Now it's going to be about freedom in Christ Jesus. Come on, someone say amen. So what did he do? What did he do? Real quickly. Number one, he took the bread. He took it. And here's the truth of the matter. He took our sin. He took our guilt. He took our punishment. He took everything that we were deserving of. Even in that act of taking the bread, he was reminding us that he was taking the sin that should have been laid upon us. He took it. He took it freely. You know, he was not forced by the Father to come from heaven to earth. The Bible says that God so loved you and me that he gave his Son. You know what? He was willing to come. He wanted to come to earth to pay the price for sin so that we could go into a relationship with the Father. That's why we cannot get over familiar this morning with the power of communion, the power of the table, the power of the message, to think that he took my sin. Not only did he take my sin, he took me. I am so unworthy, so undeserving.
washed in a sink this morning, couldn't have my normal shower, you know. But he took me in my mess because he loved me so much. And he took you this morning. If your heart is condemning you, if you feel unworthy, if you think, why would God love me? I want you to know the reason he loves you is because he proclaimed that you are a child of the living God, and he took you. He took you. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do it. Philippians says this, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. That same hands that took that bread also took a towel. Because Jesus was showing us his humility. Jesus was willing to get into the dirt and the dust of the feet of those disciples, revealing his love for them. And you know what? He's still willing to get into the dirt and dust of your life this morning. Why? Because he loves us. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, is looking for you. Not only did he take my sin, but he took me. And then what did he do? He gave thanks and he blessed it. Do you know that God's desire this morning is that as children of God, we be blessed? He blessed it. He wants his favor to rest upon us. It was in his hands. And for me, this deals with the issue of condemnation. And I loved when Daniel preached on this the other week, because so many Christians are still living under condemnation. What they've done, where they've been, the things they've been involved in, even since being a Christian. I don't know about you, but I've let God down. I don't know about you, but since being a Christian, I've got things wrong. But here's what communion reminds me of, that even in the midst of my mess, God will take me and he will bless me and he will favor me when I'm repentant before him, and he will do incredible things through my life. The kingdom is established by us understanding that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I know this is maybe so simple for some of you, but I want to remind you, you are not walking under condemnation. We're walking under grace this morning. Now, that's not a right to please yourself. That's not a right to do your own thing. That's not a license to just live a liberal life. But it's understanding that the burden of sin has been lifted from me, so that when the enemy comes to remind me of what I've done, I remind him of what Jesus Christ has done for me. When he points the finger at me, here's what I'm getting better at. I point him to Jesus. When the enemy comes to whisper in my ear, what about this? I shout in his ear, but what about what Christ did? Because that deals with the fact that I believe that I'm a blessed child of God. That doesn't make me better than anyone else, but it helps me understand my standing in Christ Jesus. I am blessed. He took it. He blessed it. He broke it. You see, this morning, Jesus understands brokenness. Communion reminds us he understands. Soon he'll be going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Soon he's going to know what it is to have that crown of thorns thrust upon his head. Blood will flow from his head. He's going to carry a cross. He understands brokenness. Why did he do that? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He's blessed the bread. He's broken the bread. But notice something. It's still in his hands. And maybe you feel broken this morning. But even your brokenness, here's the power of the gospel, that he still got you in the palm of his hands. And then what did he do? He gave it to eat. He gave it to us so that we could eat. Here's the great thing. Christ Jesus took that bread and he began to distribute it to the disciples. Think about this. He's passing it to a disciple that's going to doubt him. He's passing it to a disciple that's going to betray him. He's passing it to a disciple that's going to deny him. And yet he still loves us so much that he gave. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that Judas was soon going to go out and betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He knew that Peter was going to deny him three times, church. He knew that Thomas was going to doubt him. He knew all that was going to happen. And yet he still chose to break bread with those disciples, to send a very clear message to everyone in this room this morning that whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, whatever has happened in your world, and wherever you feel that you've let Christ down, that there is forgiveness that is found at the foot of the cross. There is forgiveness found at the foot of the cross. He says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he said these words, and this do, and make a proclamation. I always love to get this in, until I come. Good news, he's coming back again. I say, good news, he is coming back again. This was not the words of a defeated Savior. This was the words of the victorious Christ who knew that he was coming back again. So this morning, as we gather around the table of the Lord, think about this. I get to examine myself. This is not about Lee going and checking me out and thinking, Neil, there's a few things I want to point out. This is about Daniel going, well, I've been keeping a record in the office this week, Pastor Neil. It would be a short one. This is that I get, in the midst of something that I'm familiar with, church, I get to examine my heart so that I could eat. And I've asked the band who are going to come right now, I've asked if they would come, and in the simplicity of explaining again communion, I never want us to be a church that are so over-familiar that we lose the wonder. I never want us to be a church that approaches the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, in a manner that is not fitting because this is just what we do. I want us to be a church that recognizes the preciousness of this moment that we break bread together. That Jesus, the Son of God, you know, I was thinking about this morning when I was praying. When we get to heaven, the Bible says, you know, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. The fact that we're going to get a new body, wow, can't wait for that. But I was thinking this morning that the only thing that's going to be marred in heaven is the nail prints of the hands of Jesus, which will be a reminder to me, even in heaven, in the presence of the Father, I am going to be reminded that someone paid the price so that I could be in his presence. That someone loved me so much that even if I was going to deny him, and even if I was going to betray him, and even if I was going to doubt him, that he would still take the bread and take the cup and say, no longer are you going through systems, but now the price is going to be paid. And when you do this, you're going to remember once and for all the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I wonder if we could stand right now, because I want us to take a moment to consider him. You can reflect on what I've said, but I want us to focus on Jesus Christ. I want us to think of the fact that he loved us so much. I want us to consider the fact that he left heaven. I want us to consider the fact that he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. Taking a moment in our hearts to say, God, have I become so familiar? Have I become careless? Have I lost consideration when it comes to your table? This is not the table at Apex. This is the table of the Lord. And on that Passover meal, that Paschal Lamb, Jesus Christ, he took it. He broke it. He blessed it. And he gave it. That sums up the gospel, folks. You couldn't preach a better message than that. That's the gospel. That's the gospel this morning. So can we take time to consider him and consider our ways before we break bread together?